This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I am your host, Tim Murray, and joined every Thursday by Matt Newmans, college football handicapper extraordinaire. He does some other things, too. He's also the co-host of VSiN Primetime, as am I, which you can catch new time, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And lastly, check out the VSiN Saturday Morning Tailgate Show from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. All right, Matt. Let's get into it. Before we jump into the games, I started last week's podcast asking you about how you go about week one, and do you put your toe in the water? How do you normally go? What about week two? Because this is kind of the overreaction week. So what have you done and what do you try to do to avoid the classic overreaction of, hey, they look like crap, I got to fade them. They look great, I got to bet them.
Well, first of all, I'm the opposite of a knee-jerk reaction guy, so it's not too difficult for me. I'm always looking for the opposite side of the overreactions, and that's typically how I play it in the NFL and college football. I think so far on this podcast, let's see, week zero, I believe I went 2-1. Week one was not so hot. I don't know if you documented the records last week, but I'm sure you did. You document everything. I can't remember. We try to document all the games we put out on this podcast, but I know I was 2-1 in week zero. Last week, man, might have been bad. Was I 1-4 or something? I can't remember if I made USC a play or not.
Yeah. I'll be honest, you and I are both kicking ourselves because I know you and I both bet USC, but they weren't official plays on this podcast. So officially, Matt, you went 1-4, and officially I went 2.5 and 3.5. My split unit play at the Georgia State game came home in the first half and did not for the full game, so... Unit-wise, you were -3.4, and I was -1.35.
All right, so I'm 3-5 for the season. Hey, not what I want, but not the worst start ever.
You sound like Steve Spurrier when the Redskins went 5-11. Well, went 5-11. Not very good. Not the worst, though, either.
That's not the worst. 0-8 would be the worst. 3-5, yep. Not the worst. But yeah, I did bet USC Sunday night. I really thought that number was going to go back up, but didn't. So I went ahead and took the 4.5 with USC, and had a little bet on +6, but had more on 4.5. So that turned out okay. But anyway, we move on, and hopefully there'll be a winning record this week. I like I said, I try to play the opposite of the overreactions, and one of those games we're going to talk about might be. Case in point, Texas, Michigan.
No doubt. Let's get into it.
The main course.
All right. The big boys of the week, and it starts in Ann Arbor. The defending national champion, Michigan Wolverines, who are 0-1 ATS after a 30-20 victory over Fresno State. Defense looked good. Offense, still some things to work out there. On the flip side, they take on Texas, and the Texas Longhorns went out covered with ease against Colorado State, beating the Rams 52-0. And now, is this an overreaction? All summer, you could have taken 3.5 with Michigan or laid 3.5 with Texas, and now the number sits at 7.5 across the board. There are some sevens out there. We've seen the hooks start to disappear. Total's been on the move downward to 42.5. You can watch this game on Fox on Saturday, Matt.
You also could have taken that number. It was just
Token sounds better. I don't know.
Is that a Steve Spurrier word, Token?
Well, yeah, take that. Yeah, taking that away.
I'm playing Michigan. I bet this. See, two nights ago, +7.5. So rolling with the Wolverines here. And like I said, my favorite season win total bet's Michigan under 9. I don't know how this team can get to 10-2, even if it somehow upsets Texas here. So I understand that the Wolverines quarterbacks did not look very good last week. Davis Warren, 15-25, 118 yards. Alex Orji threw two passes, ran 5 times for 32 yards. Hey, it's Michigan offense that lost 6 linemen. They had 6 Michigan offensive linemen who were in NFL training camps. So it's definitely going to be a rebuild on offense. The defense, on the other hand, is elite. Top 3, probably certainly top 5 defense in college football, I would say. And That defense had a pick six to help blow the game open against Fresno. 13-3 after three quarters. 30-10 was the final. 269-244 was the yardage in that game, so it was tightly contested. If you had Fresno's side, definitely the right side. I think Michigan should be the right side here. I want to say the quarterbacks are going to – you would think they're going to play a little bit better. The offense is growing. The defense is legit and is going to keep this team in games. I still have my doubts about the Longhorns. We talked about Quinn Ewers and Steve Sarkisian. Hey, this is a much different game than what they played a week ago in Austin against a bad Colorado State team. This is on the road in Ann Arbor against a team that's – what's Michigan got? I just looked up the number, Tim. I think it's like 22 straight home wins or something like that. So it's been a long time since Michigan's dropped a game on its home field. Well, I think Michigan's going to drop this game, but we're getting 7.5. So we got a cushion to work with here. A week ago, DraftKings had the number at 3.5. Now we get the overreaction factor that pushes the number up to 7.5. And I've got to play it here and think the Michigan defense is going to get us a cover.
Yeah, and I'm with you on this play, a common play. I also played first half under 21.5, which it looks like you could still get out there in the market. So try to get that hook. 21, I still would look at it. Wouldn't play it at 20.5, which is what DraftKings currently has. So I think this is kind of a slow feeling out type of process early on in this game. I'm curious about Texas and their ability to run the ball. We know that they, of course, lost Jonathan Brooks to the NFL, and C.J. Baxter was lost to the season due to injury during training camp. So Jarrett Gibson and Jaden Blue both, you know, rushed for over 50 yards. They were effective against Colorado State, but you alluded to it. Colorado State, I was disappointed by that performance from Colorado State there. So we'll see if Colorado State, a team that I bet week 3 plus 9 at South Point against Colorado, which is now looking like a bad number because 10 is out there in the look ahead at DraftKings. But yeah, I look at this Michigan team. I think they should be better from an offensive standpoint. And I don't know about you, Matt. You're a Yankee guy. Derek Jeter is the honorary captain. So this is, it's got to mean something to the handicap there at the Big House on Saturday.
Yeah, well, the Yankees have been losing, and they haven't won a World Series since 2009. And so I don't know if that's going to help them much, but probably be better off if Tom Brady came back and played quarterback. They'd have a better shot. I do have my concerns about the Michigan QBs, but this is a play on the defense and the home field and the you know, I think the environment should be off the hook, right? The atmosphere at the Big House should be off the hook. So 7.5 with the home dog here. Feels like an offer I can't refuse. Thinking a week ago, this number was 3.5. So let's do it.
All right, we're both with Michigan plus the 7.5, and I've added first half under as well. Charlotte, North Carolina, the Duke's Mayo Classic. Tennessee against NC State. Both of these teams played FCS foes in week one, but to different results. How about Tennessee playing UT Chattanooga, who came into that game as the ninth ranked FCS program? They led 45-0 at halftime. Nico Iamaleava, 22 of 28, 314 yards, 3 touchdowns. Dylan Sampson rushed for 124 yards in this particular game. And then on the flip side, NC State played Western Carolina, another top 20 FCS program. And they struggled, Matt, to get it rolling until they finally pulled away and beat the Catamounts 38-21. But this was a little nerve-wracking there, tied at halftime. Western Carolina actually led going into the fourth quarter. Grayson McCall struggled a little bit to get it rolling there, ultimately finished with 318 yards. Jordan Waters, the transfer from Duke, finished with a 124 on the ground and 2 touchdowns there for the Wolfpack. So this is another situation, Matt, where it may be a little bit of an overreaction, but the market continues to bet this Tennessee team. Right now, as we're recording this, it has now touched 10, which I know might be a buy sign, but if anything, I would hold my nose and take the 10. But man, that is a lot of support in the market on the Vols to bump this game up from 4.5 last week now out to 10.
Whew, Tennessee looks pretty good, too. I think, man, I wish I had gotten involved with this a little bit earlier, but I want to put Tennessee on a money line parlay with something. like Tennessee to win the game. Not going to lay that number. Maybe as insurance on a play I've got later, a money line parlay Tennessee with Nebraska. I don't know if I'll do that, though, because I do like Colorado, which we'll talk about. I like this Tennessee team, so I'm going to fade that or put Tennessee on a money line parlay.
Yeah, I took Nico to win the Heisman Trophy preseason. That looks a little bit better than my other two preseason long shots, which was Kyren Drones and Virginia Tech, who lost week one to Vanderbilt, and then KJ Jefferson of UCF. So that game on ABC on Saturday night. Also Saturday night, NBC, the Boys of Corn, Nebraska, taking on Colorado. And you mentioned this tweet from our good friend Paul Stone, and I'm going to read it for those who have not seen it. You mentioned this on VSiN Primetime. In games involving Deion Sanders as the head coach of Colorado, the underdog is now 10-3 ATS, and Colorado enters this game as a 7.5-point underdog to Nebraska. Prior to last week, Matt, we saw this game sitting around 6, 6.5. So going through the key of 7, now sitting at 7.5. And Coach Prime, maybe outside of that Oregon game, has proven that he's rather feisty as an underdog.
Yeah, that's what I said. The dog trend in the Colorado games is something you can't deny here. Buffalo is not a team you really want to lay points with to play as a favorite, but they've been at their best in the dog role too. So I think that's something that I'm paying attention to here. And also Nebraska, under Matt Rhule, really hasn't learned yet how to win big games. I'm not going to count UTEP as a big game. And, you know, we got to see more from the Cornhuskers and a freshman quarterback, Dylan Raiola, in a big game atmosphere like this before I say you can lay more than a touchdown with Nebraska. I watched some of that game last week. Raiola looked pretty good. Huskers going to be better. They're going to go to a bowl this year, so they're going to end that long bowl drought. It goes back to, about 2016?
16?
Yeah. It's crazy it's been that long since Nebraska's been to a bowl. It's going to happen this year. But I'm playing Colorado plus 7.5 here. That's what I was talking about. Do I play a little insurance, maybe on a Tennessee-Nebraska money line parlay? Because I could see Nebraska winning this game by a field goal, by 4. I think it's going to be a tight game. The top-end talent on Colorado is unmatched in college football on the same team, Tim. You're talking about Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. I think these guys are going to be top 5 picks. The problem is the rest of the roster is not that strong. Offensive line needs to get much better. Buffaloes can't run the football. They got weaknesses on defense. Total of 57.5, and you could see this game turning into a shootout where I think Nebraska is eventually going to win it, but I'm going with the dog, taking the points here, and I think Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, and the Buffaloes stay in this one. Nebraska's got to prove to me it knows how to win big games, and we have not seen that for a while.
No, you think about that was kind of the MO of the Scott Frost era, which was just disastrous performances. And look, you look back to last year, Matt, Colorado hosting this Nebraska team, and it was an absolute bleep show from Jeff Sims as this Nebraska team turned the ball over 4 times, 3 fumbles, -3 in that turnover margin, as Colorado won that game 36-14, I believe, as north of a touchdown underdog. So we will see if it's more buttoned up from Nebraska. No play for me. Matt, you mentioned the atmosphere in Ann Arbor will be great. I think the atmosphere in Lincoln could be the best of the weekend. I expect this to be an absolute madhouse. So can't wait to watch it. I will not be involved from a side standpoint, but I'll be pulling for your bet here, Colorado plus 7.5. Staying in the Midwest, we go to Iowa, the old Cy-Hawk Trophy. You know who loves the name Cy-Hawk? He thinks it's so creative. JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. He thinks this is just spot on what the creativity these two universities put together to think of Cy and Hawk as the trophy. But all kidding aside, Matt, this is a game with a ridiculously low total, sitting at 35 or 35.5. I heard Todd Furman mention this on his podcast, that the under has come home in 17 of the last 19 matchups between these two teams. But it's worth noting, not all totals are made equal. This is the, I believe, lowest total that this rivalry has seen. Iowa showed a little bit of a pulse, at least in the second half, as an offensive standpoint, a team that I have a win total over. I know our friend Chris Felica, the Bear, I imagine when he joins you on your Circa Football Friday Invitational, I believe he will be riding with the Clones in this spot, +3.5. Matt, I don't have a bet on this game. I do have a win total over on the Hawkeyes, so I'll be pulling for Iowa. But I tell you what, man, I hate getting involved with this rivalry. I think I feel like I'm always on the wrong side of it. So I'm going to show some resilience and stay off Iowa State.
Yeah, Mike Palm of Circus Sports is going to be on the field to award the Cy Hawk Trophy to the winning team. Did you know that?
Is he really?
No. No, but he should be. That's a good idea.
You had me on that one. That's a good one.
I think it's a good idea. this Iowa offense, Tim, it's awesome. 40-0 against Illinois State, 492 yards. Cade McNamara, 21 for 31, 251, three touchdowns, no picks, 241 rushing. Who's going to stop this Hawkeyes offense?
No one, Matt. They're unstoppable.
I'm not sure anybody can. Not sure anybody can stop this Iowa offense. Iowa State last week, not that impressive in that 21-3 win against North Dakota. Had trouble running the ball. Rocco Becht was solid, 20 for 26, 267, two touchdowns. But how about North Dakota running for 174 yards in that game? And I think that's got to be a red flag, that run defense for Iowa State, which is a little banged up right now. And you're going to have an Iowa Hawkeyes offense that's going to want to run right at you, be more physical up front. And I think that's a problematic matchup here for the Cyclones. I was curious where this number was going to go. And at first it went to 2.5. And now we're seeing 3.5 basically painted across the board. And Brad Powers was on the show with you and I on Wednesday night. And Powers said it's easy for him at 2.5. He's playing Iowa, right? And those 2.5s are gone. I'm not sure what to do with this. I think Iowa wins the game, but I'm probably going to be on the sidelines here, Tim, because just like you, I bet Iowa over the season win total of 8, and we need this one. So since I don't have a real strong opinion on the game and I lean Iowa, let's get the Hawkeyes in the win column for the win total.
Yeah, let's do that. That was the best bet over the summer here on the podcast. For those keeping track at home, Iowa has won the last 7 of 8. The last time they played in Iowa City, though, Iowa State got the win 10-7, the lone win for the Cyclones since 2015. Last year, 20-13 final went under the total, and the last time they played in Iowa City was a barn burner, 10-7. All right, a lot more games to get to, a lot more best bets. Of course, we'll always have our best bet recap at the end of the show, but let's take a quick break right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. 4 games in the books, and these ones we'll try to go through a little quicker, but we'll go in chronological order, Matt, and we'll start with a game. Actually, we got a bumper here. It's going to – I call these games spicy matchups. You like spicy food, Matt, right, Matt?
I do. Love spicy food.
Muy caliente.
Spicy matchups.
There you go. Muy caliente. All right. Kansas State at Tulane. We talked about this game on VSiN Primetime Wednesday night. We've seen the market come in a little bit here on the green wave. These two teams played in 2022, and Tulane, as 2-touchdown underdogs, went into Manhattan, Kansas, and pulled the outright upset en route to an AAC championship and a victory in a bowl game over USC. But Michael Pratt is not walking through that door. Neither is Willie Fritz. He is now the head coach of Houston. But Tulane opened up the season with a 52-0 victory over Southeast Louisiana. The Lions, they beat them 52-0. And Darian Mencia was the starting quarterback, and he will get the start ahead of Ty Thompson, the Oregon transfer, and Kai Horton. Kansas State, on the other hand, they have waiting in the wings a big game against Arizona on Friday night. They opened up the season against the UT Martin Skyhawks, Matt, and they beat them 41-6. Avery Johnson, 41 of 27, a buck 53, 2 touchdowns. DJ Giddens in that game, 124 yards on the ground, including a long of 48. This number has come down to 9, and we're going to do a provisional play here. We've done this before, and last week it worked out for me because Clemson did not get back to 14, so I stayed off, thankfully, because that was a disaster of a game for the Tigers. If this gets back to 10, I will be in on Tulane, but at 9, I don't know if I want to go that route. As we learned late Friday night last week, Matt, you know, sometimes getting that key number of 10 is important. Stanford kicked that field goal, yep. But if you had laid the 9, you were definitely taking the 9. You were definitely sweating a little bit and hoping for Troy Taylor to kick a field goal.
And he did the right thing and kicked the field goal, and that was a smart move. Not every coach makes the smart move. So, yeah, that was one of those games where I like Stanford too, but I had to have 10, and boy, if you took 9, you felt like a dumbass until that field goal was kicked at the end and got you off the hook, right? So as far as this game goes, I like this K-State team and the combination of Avery Johnson and DJ Giddens. And, you know, it's one of my favorite coaches in college football too. I'm not going to play this game. By the way, Michael Pratt might be walking back through the door because he got released by the Packers, so he's got the day off. So if he wants to come back and join the Tulane team in the locker room, I think he could be there. No play for me, but the betting market was moving and taking the points with the Green Wave.
All right. Also at noon Eastern, that game, by the way, Kansas State-Tulane on ESPN. This game on the ACC Network, Matt, the Ramblin' Wreck. Georgia Tech, they are ranked for the first time since 2015. Very impressive to see what Georgia Tech has been able to do. Started off with a win over in Ireland over Florida State, and then they came back home, and much to my chagrin, Georgia State does not get the full game cover, even though I thought they had plenty of opportunities. So Wes Reynolds likes to fade that fresh new ranking smell, and I tend to do it as well. I'm going to add this as an official play at 3. It's a go for me. I'm going to take Syracuse. This might be a regret here, but in whatever the hell they're calling the Carrier Dome these days, I'm going to take the Syracuse Orange. I thought Kyle McCord looked pretty decent. The worry would be this, that Ohio was able to run very well. Anthony Tyus had 203 rushing yards against the Orange on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That is not ideal considering Georgia Tech wants to run the football. Just ask their head coach. So this is a bit of a hold your nose special, but I'm going to fade Georgia Tech again, and maybe I'm going to learn my lesson. And you just mentioned the word dumbass, and maybe I'll feel like a dumbass, but I'm going to take Syracuse plus the 3. That's going to be a late addition here to my best bet. So give me the Cuse plus 3, ACC Network, noon Eastern.
Yeah, I want to stay away from this one. A lot of times I'm looking to bet home dogs, but I got burned with a couple home dogs last week in the Florida Gators and West Virginia Mountaineers. So I'm not getting on the Syracuse side here. I'm concerned about the run defense in a matchup with Georgia Tech. And, yeah, that was a tough one last week. I know a lot of handicappers were taking the points with Georgia State in that flat spot, and I certainly understood that. And Georgia Tech ends up winning the game 35-12 and gets the cover. So that, I think Georgia State looked like it was going to be the right play a week ago, and it just didn't quite get there. This is going to be a pass for me.
All right, 3:30 Eastern, Matt, on Fox. This is a game that I have debated throwing on the card, and I think we talked about it last night on VSiN Primetime. I have not gotten there yet. I asked Paul Stone, professional handicapper who lives down in the great state of Texas, about this game, and he said he was staying off. Baylor at Utah. Line sits consensus 14.5. There is a 15 out there at DraftKings at time of record. Utah looked good against Southern Utah. Take that for what you will. Baylor is in a spot where, you know, Dave Aranda could really use a nice victory or a competitive game here. This, by the way, is not a conference game, so just keep that in mind there. This is a pre-scheduled non-conference showdown. My initial lean would be to look to the dog here. Daquan Finn, the Toledo transfer, made his first start as a Baylor Bear last week in a win over an FCS program. I was thinking dog. As of right now, though, Matt, I'm going to hold off on this one.
Yeah, it's the same here. Actually, there's 15 out there at DraftKings and a couple other books on Baylor. I lean that way, but it's not a play for me right now.
Yeah. All right. Sticking with the 3:30 Eastern window, I am a believer of look-ahead spots. However, as you talked about last night on VSiN Primetime, early on in the year, maybe you're not overlooking a non-conference showdown. But I'm very interested to see if South Carolina was as bad as they looked this past weekend, where they were fortunate to win as a 3-touchdown favorite against Old Dominion. Next week, Kentucky, if they win this game, they will more than likely host College Game Day for the first time since 2007, when Tim Tebow and the Florida Gators rolled in to Lexington, Kentucky. So the Wildcats shut out Southern Miss week one. This number sits at 10. So I was definitely interested in the South Carolina Gamecocks at maybe a very buy low opportunity. And is there a slight look ahead potentially for Kentucky? But once again, not to sound like a broken record, I am going to hold off on this one.
Yeah, it could be a look ahead spot for the Wildcats, but I still expect them to get the win. And this is not a game that's on my card.
3:30 Eastern, we've got Cal at Auburn. Stormy Bonatoni, our colleague, will be on the sidelines for this one. Jaden Ott, maybe a little banged up there for the Cal Golden Bears. Long travel to the Plains. Auburn absolutely won convincingly in week one. So a bit better of an opponent than Alabama A&M, whom they beat 73-3, Matt, and we're up 52-0 at halftime. So I'm going to anticipate this to be a little bit more competitive for the Auburn Tigers, but War Eagle sits against Cal as a 13-point favorite in this one.
Yeah, I just don't know if Cal is that good in a situation like this. Are the Golden Bears going to be able to hang in there for four quarters, or do they get blown out at some point in the second half? No interest in the underdog for me. I'm not playing this game either.
All right, let's go to the night slate. We've got 19th ranked Kansas at Illinois. This is an interesting one. You wrote up the Big Ten for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, and old Brett Bielema's squad catching 5.5 at home. These two teams played last year. Kansas was able to get the best of the Fighting Illini. Will we see any fight from the Illini at 7 o'clock Eastern on FS1 against 19th ranked Kansas?
Call this the Terrence Shannon Bowl. And
that's right.
I think TJ Shannon wants to stay out of the bars after this game. This one got him in some trouble last year. So I'm not the biggest Luke Altmyer fan, but I do think Illinois might be a bit undervalued here as a 5.5-point home dog, but I'm going to see if this number ticks up a little bit. This might be a home dog I've got some interest in. If Kansas gets bet up to 6 or 6.5, and that's possible, it's going to happen on Saturday. In fact, I'm pretty sure we're going to see 6 on the board at some point. And I might play the Illini here, but it's not going to be a big play for me if I do. And, you know, when I was writing the Big Ten previews for the VSiN college football preview, I think Northwestern ranked the worst team in the conference. And then you have a group of teams, Michigan State, Illinois, Purdue, Indiana, kind of in that next group. Indiana's got the easiest schedule of all those teams. But I don't think Illinois is bad. Purdue's not bad. Indiana's certainly not bad. So I think the Illini here as home dogs definitely have the ability to win this game. Don't forget, Tim, we talked about this on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Kansas Jayhawks went to Reno last year. They were big favorites. A lot of people thought Jayhawks were just going to roll over the Wolfpack, and they were lucky to escape that game with a win. So, I like home dogs. Anytime you're playing a road favorite here like Kansas laying a decent number, I'm probably not going to do it. So the one thing holding me back is Luke Altmyer. I'm not my favorite quarterback.
Jalen Daniels last year against these Jayhawks, or against the Illini, I should say, in a 34-23 win. They led 28-7 at the half, 21-29, 277, and 2 touchdowns. Devin Neal went off in that game as well. But I'm with you. I think I could find myself ultimately getting on the side of the Illini. All right, staying in the evening slate, ACC Network, Appalachian State heads to Clemson, of course, getting knocked off in rather ugly fashion, 34-3. They remain in the top 25. You know, this is a spot that I know, I think Paul Stone mentioned on this podcast from a situational standpoint after, you know, Clemson played week one against Clemson, against Georgia. 17 is pretty much across the board. If you do like the favorite, there is a 16.5 out there at DraftKings. This kind of feels like, Matt, a square dog type of feel because of what we saw last week and how poor Clemson played. I'll say this. I thought the first half, the defense for Clemson impressed me. And then, unfortunately, the floodgates just opened there and the offense really couldn't get anything going. So I think Clemson's going to be pretty fired up for this game. I am not going to lay 17, but I'm not really interested in the dog in this spot on Saturday night down there in Clemson.
Just not sure how good the Tigers really are. And I'm not sure they're that good at all. But, you know, it's more of the same we're seeing from Cade Klubnik. And I agree with you. App State might be a square dog. But this a lot of times, see, I'm going to pass on a lot of these games here in week two. You still like Nick Bogdanovich used the phrase, watch and learn. Yep. You know, when we were on the show Wednesday night, you don't have to bet all these games. You don't have to be in action. You can live bet some of the games if you see some spots you like. I think one of the biggest mistakes bettors make is they try to bet too many games early in the season. And I pass on a lot of these, and I try to watch as many games as possible and learn as much as I can about these teams. So if you're a college football analyst and you're on this any podcast, and you're trying to act like you know it all about these teams, you don't. It's a fluid situation. You're learning a lot about these teams as you watch them. We're still going to be learning about Clemson because we didn't learn much of anything last week except for Clemson's not ready to step up and battle the heavyweights right now. App State, not a heavyweight, but a solid team. I got to think Dabo is going to have his team well-prepared, and they want to get some of the critics off their back here. So this might be one of those situations where Clemson takes care of business and takes care of the number, but I'm not going to bet it.
Similar situation maybe brewing in Eugene, Oregon, as the Ducks take on Boise State. This will be a 10 o'clock Eastern kickoff. You and I love the late night slate on Peacock. So get your Peacock app ready there. Oregon last week beat Idaho 24-14. Yes, that was the final score last week for Oregon against the Vandals. Dan Lanning, none too pleased postgame after his team's performance. If you're wondering what that point spread was, Oregon went off as a 49-point favorite, Matt, and won 24-14. However, you look at the box score, 31-10, first down difference, 487 to 217 total yards. They only turned the ball over once, but just couldn't really get it going. There are certainly questions regarding this offensive line with injuries there. Right now, as we look at the market, it's ticking back up after it went as low as 17.5 earlier this week, Matt. I've got some thoughts on this game, but I know you have a play as well, as Boise State went down to Statesboro, Georgia, and was able to get a 56-45 win over Clay Helton's Georgia Southern squad. And they did not cover. Georgia Southern got in the back door there, but the total now sits at a 61.5 consensus.
Boise rolled up 651 total yards. Maddox Madsen looked pretty good at quarterback. It was Ashton Genty, 20 carries, 267 yards, 6 touchdowns. The Boise offense looked like it was in midseason form. The problem is the Boise defense needs a lot of work. And, you know, if you look at Oregon in the game against Idaho, I was watching most of it. Even as you watch it, you couldn't understand why it was such a tight game. The Ducks, 487 to 217 in total yards. But, they, like you said, they win by 10 and only score 24 points in a game in which Dylan Gabriel was 41 for 49 for 380 yards, 2 touchdowns and no picks. Ducks were having trouble running the ball. Their offensive line was not playing great, not playing at the usual level we see from an Oregon O-line, and that's understandable when you got a couple of your studs missing from last season. But I'm not going to mess around with the number here. I've heard most sharp bettors come in on the Ducks side this week. I respect this Boise team, but more than anything, I respect the offense. I think the Boise defense needs some work. Let's go with a shootout in this game. Over the total of 61. Actually, the market has moved pretty much to 61.5 across the board since last night. So over 61.5 on Boise, Oregon.
Yeah, market has moved consensus to minus 20, which is starting to get up there. But I know you weren't calling me sharp, but I'll pretend to be a sharp. I laid it with Oregon. That was my first bet of the week because Dan Lanning came out after the game and said he was, quote, disappointed with the process of his team. And I feel like as you play, you know, mental gymnastics, I think this Oregon team is going to be pretty buttoned up for this game. I think they're going to see it as a challenge to slow down Ashton Jeanty after his stellar performance a week ago. And if this game is forced on the right arm of Maddox Mattson, I think you're feeling pretty good. I think we see the best of Oregon here in this particular spot. Oregon, a team that I was very high on, a little bit disappointed, Matt. Certainly the performance that we saw last weekend against Idaho, as mentioned, a 49-point favorite winning by just 10. But yeah. Oregon, I will lay the number here. Anything south of 21, I think, is good for me. So I will lay it with the Ducks. And, you know, laying it late night last week, I got 61 points from Arizona. Unfortunately, Devin Dampier in New Mexico decided to put up a 39 spot for me. So an official bet, though, I will lay it with the Ducks in what I believe to be a good spot for Oregon to be motivated and focused to take on a quality Boise State team, arguably the best team in the group of five. Speaking of the group of five, Matt, hey, 10:30. Yeah, go ahead.
Just so nobody gets confused, on the VSIN Pro page, on the VSIN email yes. this morning, Tim Murray is on the record of playing Boise State plus 20 at Oregon. So you may want to get on the same page with the producer who put that play in and not get accused of playing both sides of the game. But on the VSIN email, you're on the record for Boise State.
So. Yeah, we will get that corrected. Bill, if you're listening, I am not on Boise. I am on Oregon. So I think I might have sent a text to producer Caesar that might have been mistaken. But we'll get it fixed. I am on the Ducks. Unless Boise, of course, covers. Then, of course, I was always on Boise State, right? That's the way it always works. No, I am on Oregon, and I am rolling with the Ducks here. All right, late night, Matt. Oregon State at San Diego State. You mentioned it. That look-ahead spots, you know, maybe don't put too much stock into them. I like to go through the process. What do you have next? Who did you just play? This is, in my opinion, and you're going to go deeper into it as well, a very good spot for San Diego State. Getting an opportunity to play Oregon State here. Oregon State next week hosts Oregon. What a big-time game for them. As I'm sure they're going to want to try to prove some things against their in-state rival who's going to walk in there as a, you know, top five, top 10 type program. So Oregon State laying six. Nick Bogdanovich, I went back and listened to it. Of course, odds maker from Circus Sports. He was on VSiN Primetime Wednesday night. He said he made this game 1.5. And this was the biggest difference he had on the board this week. Oregon State laying six out there in the market, and he made it 1.5. So certainly worth noting there. And I think this is going to be a common play for the two of us.
Yeah, definitely taking the Aztecs here plus six, and I'm happy to get to six. This is a game I basically made a pick when I was making my numbers, and I was like, whoa, I saw the market move up from 3.5 to 5.5 to six. I said, I'll take the six with the Aztecs. And I understand they looked pretty bad in the first half against Texas A&M Commerce. They trailed 6-3 at halftime. But, hey, it's a new quarterback, new coach, and Sean Lewis. You know, team's not going to hit the ground running and look great in the first half of week one all the time. In fact, Ohio State didn't look great in the first half last week. So I don't think you can downgrade San Diego State too much. Aztecs did roar back to win that game 45-14. They had a fumble return, a pick six. They did win, if you look at the box score, outgained Commerce 408 to 180. But Danny O'Neill, the freshman quarterback from Indianapolis, is not a big guy, 6 foot. But he was 22 for 33 in his first start. In the second half, he was much better, 11 for 12, 130 yards with two touchdowns. Marquez Cooper ran 27 times for 223 yards, two touchdowns. Aztecs shut down the Commerce run offense, 34 carries for 63 yards. That's what you expect from a San Diego State defense. You'll be able to stop the run. Well, if you look at the other side, Oregon State ran the ball 58 times and threw it only 14 against Idaho State. That game plan is not going to work against the Aztecs. You're not going to be able to run it 58 times and roll up 510 yards and win the game. Idaho State's a terrible team. So now you're on the road laying six against the Aztecs in a game I think San Diego State's got a good shot to win. I'm happy to take this number. And Sean Lewis was a really good coaching hire for San Diego State. And hopefully he's going to upgrade this offense. And hopefully we'll see some of that here in week two against the Beavers.
Yep. And I echo the sentiments. I played this earlier this week. I looked at the VSIN betting email that Bill sends out, and I saw, ooh, Matt is on San Diego State as well. So we are rolling together. And unfortunately, unlike last week where we could blame JVT for championing Wyoming for us, Matt, only ourselves to blame on this one if it doesn't come home. So we're going to take San Diego State plus the six. One other game just that was kind of interesting to me before we get to some big spreads and another best bet from you, Matt. San Jose State Air Force, I just wanted to mention this. Ken Niumatalolo and the Spartans, they were trailing going into the fourth quarter against Sacramento State last Thursday night. They get the win. They get the cover in a game that saw a lot of sharp action on Sacramento State. Air Force does not bring back a ton, and I'd be curious the familiarity with Ken Niumatalolo against this Air Force team, him being at the Naval Academy and the all-time winningest coach there, if the Spartans are frisky against Air Force, knowing that Coach Ken knows that offense so well that he'll be facing. So one that I'm keeping on my radar, San Jose State catching 5.5 against Air Force, but not a official play. All right, Matt, before we get to our best bet recap, there are some big, big numbers out there, and we call it
Big Boys with Big Spreads.
And one of those games, Matt, is going to be in South Bend, Indiana, where Notre Dame is taking on Northern Illinois. The Irish, of course, getting a very nice, impressive win against Texas A&M. A lot of sharp money came out on the Aggies, moving that game to 3. It did not go off of 3. You and I were both on the under, which was relatively comfortable. There was a moment where I thought it could go to overtime, and that would ruin our under there. But under does come home for us last week for Notre Dame and Texas A&M. And this is a classic letdown spot for the Irish coming back home, facing an NIU program, which historically, Matt, is one of the better MAC programs out there. And it does look like, as we record this on this Thursday morning, our friends at South Point have gone to 28.5 in favor of Notre Dame, 28 pretty much everywhere else. So early action this week bumped this game from 30 down to 28.
Yeah, it's funny. It was 29 at South Point about a half hour ago. So somebody's betting that because it just dropped from 29 to 28.5. Tim, I know that there have been some people criticize you for not having a sponsor for your show on VSIN. How about for the podcast, a couple segments here, spicy matchups? Can we get something like Frank's Red Hot Sauce?
Big I love boys, Frank's Red Hot.
I do too. Big boys, big spreads. Let's go with the DXL.
Oh.
Right? The extra large clothes shop where I got that fancy sport coat that you love.
Looking sharp, by the way, Wednesday night, ladies. And Derek Stevens, by the way, came into studio Wednesday night and he stopped in his tracks and he goes, damn, that is a nice jacket. Looking at, not me, looking at Matt Humans.
Got that at the DXL store. So there you go. I know you shop there. You're 6'10", so get over there and check it out next time you want to buy it.
By the way, can I just say this? Live time on the podcast, 11:29 a.m. Pacific time. That hook that I mentioned, bye-bye. It is gone. It is now 28 across the board, so money coming in on the Huskies on this Thursday morning.
Yeah, I just saw the red bar pop up on the odd screen as well, now down to 28. I played Northern Illinois plus 30 here. For the sake of the podcast, it's going to be 28. But, hey, you were talking about a look-ahead spot with Oregon State, with Oregon up next. That certainly matters. And this is a flat spot for the Irish off the big win at Texas A&M. Who had the biggest win in week one? Was it Notre Dame? Was it Miami? Was it USC? Well, hey, they were all big wins. And a lot of times I'm looking to bet against a team off a big win like that. I think the Irish might have it on cruise control a little bit this week, laying 4 touchdowns. Another thing, nobody watches more Notre Dame football than you, Tim, and I'm right there. I just don't see a lot of big play ability in this Irish offense, not a lot of explosive plays. Now, you're going to get some here and there. Riley Leonard's not a big play passing quarterback. He is going to make some important runs. I don't think he's going to run much in this game. Irish running backs are going to rip off a big run here or there, like we saw last week against the Aggies. But it's not an explosive type of offense. And Northern Illinois does at least have some offensive capability. Now, I'm not going to make much about a 54-15 win against Western Illinois, because the Leathernecks are in that same category of Delaware State, a really bad team. But Northern Illinois ran up 706 total yards. Ethan Hampton, the quarterback, 18 for 20, 328, five touchdowns, no picks, 312 rushing yards for the Huskies. And this is one of the better Mid-American Conference teams, kind of a dark horse in that race, maybe to win that conference. So the offensive capability is there with the Huskies. Maybe I'm counting on a letdown factor for the Irish. And I was, like Brad Powers, I was kind of waiting for that to see if it was going to go to 31, and it wasn't. It started going the opposite direction, so I took plus 30, but here we're going to call it Huskies plus 28. Let's hope the Irish are a little bit flat coming off the big win at A&M.
By the way, Western Illinois a year ago, 0-11, and lost consecutive games to North Dakota by 39, Missouri State by 41, North Dakota State by 45, Southern Illinois by 63, and Northern Iowa by 44. That would be a fun stretch there to be a Western Illinois fan during that stretch there. By the way, the Fighting Wes Reynolds take on Western Illinois this week. Indiana gets the Leathernecks this week.
All right. That was part of the handicap when you're playing Indiana over the win total of 5.5. The Hoosiers have done this since Wes Reynolds was in diapers. They set up cupcake opponents in the preseason because they know they're not going to win many Big Ten games. So they always try to go 3-0 or whatever they could possibly do in the preseason, playing teams like Idaho State, Western Illinois, and then they're hoping they can scrape out, you know, three Big Ten wins and get to 6-6 and go to a bowl game. That's been Indiana's philosophy forever. And so no surprise to see Western Illinois on the schedule this week for the Hoosiers.
All right, we'll lump all of these together before we get to our best bet recap. Bowling Green, the Falcons, speaking of Brad Powers, his alma mater, they take on Penn State and Happy Valley, and this number has gone up to 36.5. Penn State, of course, coming off of the impressive performance in Morgantown, 34-12 victory over West Virginia. Alabama, they play South Florida, Matt, and people might not remember, but last year Alabama struggled mightily against South Florida. That was the infamous Tyler Buckner start for Alabama. I believe 17-3 was the final score in that one. Alabama in Tuscaloosa laying 31 against the Bulls. Byron Brown, fun quarterback, someone to keep an eye on there. You know, maybe look at a prop there for him if he could get it running. Ole Miss, I mentioned this one because Ole Miss won last week 76-0, led 52-0 at halftime. And I'll tell you what, your boy Lane Kiffin, not afraid to run it up. And Middle Tennessee is terrible. They should have lost last week to an FCS opponent, but they were able to find a way there to get a victory in week one there for Derek Mason in his debut, as the Blue Raiders slipped past Tennessee Tech 32-25. I believe they had needed a late touchdown to get that victory. And then lastly, Matt, maybe another letdown spot. USC is home to Utah State, fresh off of their win over the Fighting Jimmy Otts, as they won 27-20. Both you and I fought on last Sunday night and took USC. That number sitting at 28.5. So those will be the final four games. Anything to note of those final four before we get to our best bet recap?
No, but I do want to mention the extra board. And yes, Don't forget about the extra board this week. Last week I did add a play. I actually laid 33 with Purdue against Indiana State on Saturday morning. So I'm waiting, and that was a 49-0 game. And that was the only game I played on the extra board. This week, how about taking a look at Idaho at Wyoming? 308-919 on the rotation. I'm not sure what the number is going to come out here, but I'd be interested in taking some points with the Vandals. Is there a team in college football that looked worse than the Cowboys last week in that embarrassing loss, excuse me, at Arizona State? And Idaho, I really think this Idaho defense is legit. I know a lot of people are saying, wow, Oregon struggled in that game. So Idaho team is not bad. It's not Idaho State. Don't confuse the two. The Idaho Vandals weren't bad last season. They're not bad now. I could see Idaho going to win that game in Laramie this week, and that's one I'm going to look at on the extra board.
Last year, I remember taking, I believe the number ballooned out to 17 as Idaho played Cal. They got off to a good start, lost by 14, ultimately did cover. But remember, now Nevada was god-awful last year, but this was a Idaho team that went to Reno and beat Nevada by 4 touchdowns. So this is a very good program, ranked 7th in the FCS rankings for whatever that's worth. So I think definitely worth a look and curious what that number will pop out too. So Idaho versus Wyoming, 3:30 Eastern, certainly something to keep an eye on. All right, Matt, let's do what we do to wrap up every podcast. Let's get to
Best Bet Recap.
All right, the Best Bet Recap was not a great week last week, but hey, we dust ourselves off and we get back on the horse. So Matt, what are your best bets for week 2 of the college football slate?
All right, as we mentioned at the top, 2-1 in week 0, 1-4 last week. Very disappointing. And we didn't count that USC play as a winner because we said I was qualified on that number going back up to 6 and never got there. So 3-5 overall, got to do better. Here we go. Michigan +7.5, going with the home dog in Ann Arbor, taking the overreaction, I believe, with the number, look ahead number of 3.5. Now 4 points higher. Northern Illinois, just talked about, +28. Colorado +7.5. San Diego State +6, another home dog. And how about Boise, Oregon in a shootout over the total of 61.5. So 5 plays for this week.
All right. We'll run through mine. Texas, Michigan, first half under 21.5. I believe I still see out there. So that'll be the official play. We gave it out Wednesday night on VSiN Primetime as well. Riding with Matt as well, Michigan +7.5. We're going to go San Diego State +6 as another best bet. I'm going to lay the 19 with Oregon. That is out there against Boise State. And then I also added Syracuse +3 at whatever they're calling the Carrier Dome these days. So hopefully Fran Brown and company can slow down the run. I know they were unable to do so against Ohio in week number 1. And then the last play, the provisional play, Matt, if Tulane gets back to 10, that'll be a play for me. Tulane taking on Kansas State, but not a play as of right now. Other games that missed the card, Ole Miss, just because Lane doesn't care and loves to lay big numbers. And then Baylor, one that I'm intrigued by, but didn't ultimately make the card. So we each have 5 plays heading into week number 2, Matt. And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe. Hopefully we get back on our winning ways and, you know, we'll keep it rolling here. Make sure to catch Matt and I, as well as JBT, on VSiN Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, each and every weeknight. And also our brand new show, the VSiN Saturday Tailgate Show, 10 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. For Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.